Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReport.com is the place to go. That's HagmanReport.com, the place to go. On the very top, you're going to see a banner. And from that banner, you can get to all of our collective audio and video assets. Now, I don't expect this platform to be on YouTube for very much longer. Got a notice today. Essentially, they're going through my channel with a fine-tooth comb, and they are packing up community guideline strikes, so I suspect that really, probably within a week, we're going to be just DOA on YouTube. You can find us on Brighteon, and you can find us by way of HagmanReport.com. We're going to be going the way of InfoWars in terms of being deplatformed. I'm just telling you, just laying that out ahead. I will tell you this, folks. I can guarantee flipping to you this. On the 21st of, or on Inauguration Day in 2021, I can guarantee you, or I, with a reasonable degree of certainty, that President Donald John Trump will be putting his hand on the Trump Family Bible, raising his right hand, and taking the oath of office. I hope you heard what I said. And very briefly, I just want to say this. Now, I'm going to be expanding more about this tomorrow. Very briefly, the poll viewers, watchers, you know, I don't know if men don't have any balls left. I don't know if they are wimps, but if I was a poll watcher and I had one job to do, and that's to watch the polls, and I had somebody come out and tell me I couldn't do it, or I had people tape, in that one case, putting up the paper or cardboard, whatever you call it, to so I couldn't see in, or locking the doors, the glass door. First of all, a glass door is not going to stop me, and that second of all, that paper is not going to stay up. Folks, I've said this before. I'm going to tell you again. We need to recreate the Battle of Athens, McMinn County, Tennessee, August 1st and 2nd, 1946, when guys actually had balls and people actually had the courage to do their job. We are seeing the election stolen. We are seeing the votes. When you have a precinct that reports 102%, boy, I want to know how that happens. Or 200%. Or you've got twice as many, actually, voters than you do residents. Explain that to me. It's a bunch of crap, and you know it. And I'll tell you, that jackbooted thug, that pathetic suckwad, Jack Dorsey, you know, with the Osama bin Laden beard, he can suck on it too. Who the hell does he think he is?
So the dead can't vote? I'm confused.
Eric the Tech, welcome.
Thank you.
Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, qfiles.tv. Tomorrow, by the way, Steve Quayle and I will be holding a special broadcast in place of this show tomorrow. You can gain access to this special broadcast tomorrow at qfiles.tv at 7 o'clock p.m. Oh, boy. I'm going to be doing an election update tomorrow for everyone on our channel, so just keep an eye out for that. But it's not, the actual show is going to be for Steve Quayle at qfiles.tv tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Can't wait for that. All right, Steve Quayle, how are you doing, sir?
Thank you for letting me come on today, because I heard what you were saying in your monologue. And ladies and gentlemen, what you're watching is the separation, literally, of the sheep and the goats. What you're watching is multitudes in the valley of decision, literally. For the day of the Lord is coming. It's not here yet. But Doug, you know, what I thought was amazing and astonishing is Joe Biden's own words that they've got the best vote stealing machine and apparatus in the world. And that, ladies and gentlemen, when the numbers don't add up, it's obviously just representative of the old statement. It doesn't matter who casts the vote that counts. It's who counts the votes that count. They've told us from the beginning they're going to steal the election. And, you know, Doug, I was thinking this morning, every one of these illegitimate sons of Belial, and if you don't know who that is, or let's just say this Baal's offspring, the devil's disciples that have done their best to war on righteousness, that have done their best to war on God, that are sanctioning the name of Jesus out of everything, that are promoting that the Bible's hate literature. And ladies and gentlemen, quite candidly, the evangelical Christian community, or let's just call it the Christian community at large, sat back and watched 3 to 5% of the LGBTQXYZ movement pretty much determine the outcome of this country because of our silence. And you know me, Doug, I'm on board with you 100% that men need to be men. And so I love the Michigan militia. I love every, and I'm seeing women with AR-15s. God bless you, ladies. Because, ladies and gentlemen, people are now starting to see that what all of us have warned about for all these years is coming into play. The New World Order, the globalists, the Luciferians. They hate God more than anything. And I want to say this, Doug. Anybody who claims to be a Christian and voted for Biden, I question your salvation. Well, who are you to judge? Oh, I'm not judging. I'm looking at your fruit. You mean you're voted? And this is something, Doug, I'm hearing more and more of. Well, I just couldn't vote for President Trump. Well, then you voted for murder, child sacrifice, cannibalism, war against God, war against people, the end of every freedom you've ever known, and that's what you voted for. The tree is known by the fruit it bears. So I want to share something. I got an email. And Doug, this is important because when you and I
hang on a second, Steve, let me ask you a question on that line. Okay, on that line. Okay. John Piper. Who in the hell is this jamoke? Okay, John Piper. And it's saying, don't vote.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's some evangelical, right?
Yeah, well, he claims to be. But let me share. I believe I'm giving you Joel chapter 3, verse 14. I believe God has allowed President Trump. I've never changed my statement from before he was elected, nor will I. God set him into the presidency for his purposes. And it's interesting that everybody's making moral judgments against the man, yet they're acquiescing to the butchering of 100 million babies, plus they're acquiescing to the entire leftist satanic witchcraft. And does it mean anything to anybody that the rebellion in the land, when the Bible says the sin of witchcraft is equal to rebellion, or rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, that's what the scripture says, and you've got witches and warlocks and cursers and cursees, and everybody's cursing this man. What does this man stand for? He has stood for pro-life. He stood for Christians. When that murderous bastard from Africa showed up that's allowing the slaughter of Christians, he says, why are you killing Christians? No man in office of the presidency of the United States has ever stood for Christians as this man has. No man has done more for the blacks and the Latinos than this man has. And the Democrats are furious because he stripped the mask off of their lies that the Democrats are the party of the oppressed. That's so much horse manure that I really don't know if I can keep control of myself. Because here's the thing. People are so self-righteous that they won't look to God's righteousness and allow God's righteousness to deal with our own sin. So why is that important today and what we're talking about? Because, ladies and gentlemen, if it weren't for the few that are standing up against the stealing of the elections, Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, okay? That's what I think of John Piper. When I hear those guys saying that, then that is this. Remember, Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. But you can no longer hide behind religious terminology. It's just like, Cardinal, or Archbishop Vigano. He's making statements that absolutely are biblically accurate. This is a supernatural war of evil. When you get Christian claimants claiming that, this is Trump is evil, blah, blah, blah. I actually repented last night, Doug, because in essence, I read an article and I put it on my website of a prophecy of November 3rd, the whole thing of Noah. And that brother made some incredibly, I would say, salient and valiant points. This is not a political issue, Doug. This is not a political issue. This is a spiritual issue. And the Christians don't understand that you will become extinct under the Biden administration. You got to pay attention to his words and realize that whether he dies in December 7th, as I think Dana Coverstone, he didn't come out and say it, but it implied it, and Kamala Harris becomes the president, I think, ladies and gentlemen, you don't understand how quick the camps will fill up with Christians, how fast their heads will roll, and everything we've known as freedom. And I'm going to share something. It used to be that people would look at the United States of America. They'd see what we saw, the blessing of Almighty God. You look to Mount Rushmore. You see the men that forged this country. And then you understand that we were staring at what God had given us versus blessing him for having given us the blessings we have. So the thing is that there's a scripture that says, woe unto the nation that forgets God, or woe unto them that forget God. And what we've sat back and allowed, not everybody, obviously, the blessing of talk radio and podcasting now is while we still have the opportunity. You think that anybody will be able to listen to these kind of shows if we go away? And I want to share something. And obviously, thank you for giving me this time with you, Doug. Do you really believe that Barr is a good guy? I don't. Do you really believe, though the whole world is against Donald Trump, the entire U.S. government, braggarts in his own White House, are talking about doing everything they can to undermine him, Every law, election law broken, every common sense telling you, these people said they were going to steal the election, now they're stealing the election. And people asking Donald Trump to concede, you all better thank God that he will fight, and he's fighting. And I'm going to fight for him because, Doug, if we don't, we will go under a second lockdown that will destroy us once and for all. It's already being planned. We're seeing it in France. We're seeing it in Britain. Oh, remember when Boris Johnson, maybe Bozo, said, that he was on Trump's team? And look at when the microphones and the cameras were turned off, he was mocking Trump behind his back. Because of the spineless jellyfish, because of the testicular free nation, because, ladies and gentlemen, the only balls in America seem to be the ones that they throw down alleys and knock down pins, we're seeing a concession to evil. You saw James Comey, one of the greatest perpetrators of all fraud in the history of the FBI, in my opinion. You saw Christopher Wray, whose legal firm had ties to Burisma, Biden. You've watched everything that you used to believe was law and justice and equal justice disappear. You've seen nobody in the swamp being held responsible. You've seen everybody blackmailed. You don't know the blackmailing that's going on behind the scenes, Doug. I get wind of it
right from
people who say, and ladies and gentlemen, you've got to understand, we the people, the same people that decided they have to no longer put up with tyranny, if they start talking about a mandatory second lockdown, Doug, I think we've got to get a group going. I mean this right now for this show. We have to basically have we will not comply with a secondary lockdown. It's destroyed too many families. It's destroyed too many marriages. It's destroyed Main Street at the benefit of Wall Street. Wall Street is nothing more than the Wizard of Oz behind the screen pulling all the levers. And isn't it amazing, you guys? The men who prospered the most and the women who prospered the most in the United States of America are now working feverishly to destroy it, whether it's Zuckerberg, whether it's the head of Twitter, Jack Dorsey, whether it's Google, whether it's Yahoo, whether it's you were talking about YouTube. Everything is against us. It's a weapon of war. And I believe, Doug, that God, and I say this again, God is making it clear who serves him and who doesn't. So all of the, what I would call apostate pastors that said they won't vote for Donald Trump, there was an article I posted too, how the evangelical community conspired with the Muslim community to do their best to overthrow Trump.
You know, Steve, if, again, 47% by my figures of the registered voters who are self-identified as Christians did not vote, you're talking about roughly 45-ish million people who didn't vote. Gee, do you think that could have tilted the scales a little bit? Meanwhile, you got the Pied Piper perdition out there saying, oh, you don't vote. You know, what's wrong with these people? That's rhetorical, obviously. But you're right.
It's not rhetorical. Can I tell you something?
Sure.
It's a clinical understanding as an investigator that you are when asked the question. What are they afraid of? I would say this. Anybody who said that, if those numbers are correct, Doug, and I believe they are.
It's Barna numbers.
Okay. Barna numbers?
Yeah, it's from Barna.
I would say this, that I questioned their salvation because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not talking about policies or politics. I'm talking about the absolute platform of the Democrats. They made war on God. We will not have Jesus Christ mentioned. We will not. And all of the Democrats are silent. You know, maybe a couple of them aren't, but, you know, the majority. So let's talk about the evangelicals. The evangelicals surrendered to the powers of darkness, in my opinion, almost, maybe 30 years ago, because they thought that they could be seeker-friendly churches. And I hold that whole purpose-driven church stuff, I hold that responsible, because we were never a purpose-driven church. We were a shepherd-led flock. Look what's happened. Look what's happened in all of the, what I would call evangelical insane asylums called former churches that used to preach Jesus. Now they don't. They talk about friendship with the world. Why is it that every person who seemingly gets on TV that speaks, there are exceptions, you know, takes the position of BLM and Antifa? Antifa is nothing but the army of the left, being orchestrated by the Chinese, being funded by the Chinese, being armed by the Chinese to overthrow this country. And ladies and gentlemen, this is not a political issue. This is a non-political issue where your children, my children, our grandchildren, everything's at stake. Liberty? Yeah. How come people in America are even afraid to say they voted for Donald Trump? Because of peer group pressure? I'll say this. To hell with peer group pressure. And heaven's praise to those who will still listen to the voice of freedom, the voice of liberty. And I'll share this, Doug. The scripture addresses this point. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, that's the Holy Spirit, there is liberty. But you take out the Spirit of the living God from society and all you get is bondage, death, and destruction. You take out Jesus from the common day vernacular, or in essence, they've imprisoned the name of Jesus. Talk about anything. And then you take that demonic entity, that false Satanicus Pontificus in Rome, who has done more to destroy even the traditional Catholic faith. By the way, for the record, I'm not a Catholic. But I'm not at war with the Catholics. I'm at war with the devil. I agree more with an archbishop who's calling this spiritual warfare than I do for Peter Piper picked a peck of chickens and their droppings. How's that?
One for the books, there, Steve. And I agree with you 100%. And I think you're spot on. You know, we are in right now. I don't know. Just real quick. I don't know how many people realize this, but if President Trump, and I believe this to be the case, does win re-election. Again, I believe that to be the case. The reign of pain that's coming upon the Christians in this community by the leftists in retaliation for what's good is going to be prevalent. On the other hand, if Biden gets in mid-February, end of February, March, they're coming for our guns. But, you know, it's not the guns that they want. They want us, and they want us dead people.
Yes.
You know, and when you said that before, I was like, oh, okay. No. They want us dead. I had a very sobering phone call last night with somebody. It's kind of like you. I can't say who it was, but when I hung up the phone, I had to go walk my dog for a little bit and sit, you know, hit my knees in prayer, because what I heard scared the crap out of me. It did. All I'm going to say is we're in for a world of pain. And folks, to that end, follow Steve Quayle, his Q Files, because he's been talking about this, what's going on, QFiles.tv and SteveQuayle.com. Go ahead.
Well, Doug, tomorrow night on this special broadcast for the people that are the new subscribers and subscribers to my channel, I'm going to present some really what I call take your breath away numbers. You can choose to believe them or you can choose not to believe them. I present what the Lord tells me to present. You can say, I don't believe you. Well, hey, look, people all over the world, Doug, are coming to Jesus. They say, thank Doug for the platform. They say, we pray for you. And look, ladies and gentlemen, Doug and I have had talks off the air and go, can you believe it? Did you think you and I would be on the air talking about this stuff 20 years ago or maybe 30 years ago? And here's the deal. I don't know how God does what he does, but he does it. But when I get testimonies from people from all over, and I know you told me the number of nations, Eric did, you know, on that, our special broadcast. But the thing is people's lives all over the world are being touched and they're coming to Jesus and they're standing up in their own communities. There is no stand down order coming from heaven to God's people. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of the armies of heaven. Jesus comes back with a sword. He isn't coming back with a fig leaf. And I mean no disrespect to the Lord. I mean literally the attack on the Lord Jesus. Why am I saying all this? Because here's the deal. We've got to fight and we need to launch. We will not be locked down again. Come up with something, because Doug, this is it. They're not coming for the guns. They're coming for us. They're going to kill us. They're not coming to take us away. They're coming to blow us away, and then they take everything else away. You know, whatever you've owned. And ladies and gentlemen, do you know why the reason why they wanted to destroy the travel agency, the globalists, the elitists, the Luciferians, the devil-worshipping scumbags, is they wanted all the hotel rooms for the bivouacking, or the, what do you call it, where you put troops in barracks. There's another word for that. I haven't been in the military, but to literally take all those, and they got their rooms already met. So how many hotels are in each community? Where is the military going to pitch tents in the football field? No, they're going to come over. We are going to be a dispossessed people from our land. And some of you can mock that until you're blue in the face, but you can't deny what's happening. What we're seeing has never been. The outcome is still in the people of God. Pray, people of God. But pray imprecatory prayer. Come against the enemies that are coming against our country. Start rebuking the spirit behind, now hear what I'm saying, the spirit behind Google, the spirit behind Yahoo, the spirit behind Jack Dorsey, the spirit behind Zuckerberg, the spirit behind all of the social media platforms. You know what the social media platforms are, Doug, in my opinion? And you know, I've not been a fan of it. By the way, I found out Rhonda has a Facebook account for me, just one thing. And I didn't even know I had this, and I'm not playing dumb. I just don't pay attention to it. That's the only way I can take down the imposters, or actually she does.
Right.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, there are 145 people clipping me, making little cartoon figures or, you know, editing stuff that Doug and I, you know, and the Lord rebuke them. But that's the only reason why. And Twitter, Twatter, pitter-patter, has absolutely act as the executioner of all truth, the arbiters of all truth. And as Doug just explained to you, you know, they will take him down off YouTube. Ladies and gentlemen, again, we have to fight for our freedoms. You cannot stay silent. If you stay silent, you die. And if you start to stand up, say, God, I need to stand up. Make me as bold as that lion. Notice that lion. He's sitting there going, what you got? And he's ready at any moment. I think that's one of the, I don't know who took the photograph, but that's one of the finest lion photographs I've ever seen in my life.
I saw a question about that, Steve, if you care to expand on it. Why not have, a cross instead of a lion?
Well, can I tell you something? Because a cross to me,
There you go.
This was sent to me by a brother in the Lord, okay? I don't wear St. Christopher's around my neck, okay? I don't wear religious jewelry. And so for the reference, it's, Doug, the cross is what Jesus hung on. It's what he was executed on. But I talk about the resurrected Jesus. So many people, especially in the Catholic Church, they see the pictures or the little statues, and have you ever seen the deformed one the Pope carries around?
Yes.
Look, it's the same reason I don't carry an empty tomb around my neck, okay? and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, these don't work on vampires, just FYI. You know, the deal is that I have a cross, and this is out of copper. And it's interesting because the copper, you know, was very important in the implementation of war, and especially during the Bronze Age. So for all of those of you who are religious, and Doug, if they fault me for not having a cross, let me say this. There is more, biblical association with a lion and boldness. I'm called people to rise up and be bold in Jesus.
There you go. And I think that's what the answer that they were looking for. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, and by the way, this sucker is really sharp. And, you know, this will go into the heart of any vampire, as by the way, they're finding graves all over Romania now of people with stakes in their hearts. So I guess they still believe that. But here's the thing. I believe most Christians who have not had a transformational encounter with Jesus absolutely think of him as a historic figure. I think Barna's own, his own presentation and the results of his different surveys are just, astonishing. And if you take what Christians believed 20 years ago versus now, ladies and gentlemen, they, the enemy, the Luciferians, the devils, the witches, the Satanists, the warlocks have had more influence on this society than we have, because we went to, we went into the corner and clucked, okay, because we acted more like chickens than eagles. By the way, the only time you hear chickens, I think, mentioned in the New Testament, and I could be wrong, so I'm just doing this from memory, is the fact that, you know, the rooster crowed three times when Peter denied Jesus, you know. And I said, I pray for the battle cry. I pray for the lion's roar. I pray for the people of God to stand up. Because, Doug, they'll be forced to. The minute you're quiet, the minute I'm quiet, they'll be forced to stand on their own. And what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen, we're equipping you. We're equipping you with information. We're equipping you with all of the ramifications, telling you what's going on. And would to God that he would raise up his Elijahs and his Moseses, because Jesus said, greater things will you do than I did. And we went to the Father, and I'm praying, Lord, let that be, God, because all I see is road mix. You know, the joke about roadkill. Sometimes you've eaten a restaurant, you go, that looks like it was spatulated off the road. That means it's a really bad food. But Jesus said, if we're salt, we lose our savor, we become road mix. Actually, we become road kill. The salt that lost its savor was thrown on the road. And the problem is the salt was used to preserve, not destroy. But when salt loses its preservation, and that's what's happening. It's a real simple thing, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about all a dark winter. We're talking about the night comes, Jesus, when no man can work. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Apply that scripture to now. How many men that used to have the ability to feed their family can't do it? How many women agonize over when their son or daughter says, can I have this? Can I have that? I rebuke it in Jesus' name. And as long as God gives me breath, I will fight against it. And if you are a Christian that voted for Biden or claimed to be a Christian, please, please do not join my subscription list. I want no fellowship with people that are pro-abortion, pro-child murder, pro-Satanism, pro-cannibalism, at war with God. I don't want to deal with you people. I don't. Well, you're being pretty exclusive. The Bible is exclusive. No man comes unto the Father except by Jesus. No man comes to the Father except the Holy Spirit draw him. Then this is why, ladies and gentlemen, we've not become the salt of the earth. We've become pretty much, how should I say this, irrelevant, like Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peckers, you know. You know, whatever. The thing is that, and by the way, a woodpecker is a bird. The thing is that what does a woodpecker do? It just keeps chipping away, chipping away, chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. And those little suckers can really irritate you, but we're watching our freedom. You know, when Jesus came into the temple of God in Jerusalem before he was crucified, the disciples were amazed. Look at this. This is a masterpiece. This is wonderful. And what did Jesus tell them? Basically, he's telling them, your eyes are on the wrong place. I tell you this, there will not be one stone left unturned. In other words, the whole thing is to be torn down. People have looked at America, the greatest country in the world. I hear that. I hear that from people that sit in their easy chairs, and basically now they got a problem because they can't just eat beer and chips because they're playing reruns of whatever, the football, baseball, basketball, whatever. And notice this, ladies and gentlemen, some of the richest, most blessed athletes of contemporary time are some of the most, what's the word, Doug? The most vocal critics of freedom, of the American way, and they're embracing socialism and communism.
Yeah, that's like biting the hand that feeds you. I mean, it's even worse than that. It's like killing the person that feeds you. That's one other thing, folks. Don't forget who brought you to the party. Whatever party you're at, and I say that obviously metaphorically, don't turn your back on the people who brought you to the party. And that's my warning to you guys. And it's the same thing with the athletes. Can you imagine? Greatest country in the world. They're playing. They're making gazillions in cash, you know, plus endorsements. And they want to go to socialism. How's that going to work? Go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you this. All the high-dollar sneakers don't do well when the ground temperature heats up because magma is headed to the surface of the New Madrid area, and that the biggest secrets in the world are this, ladies and gentlemen. You're being preoccupied. We're all being preoccupied with what I would call politicus theatricus, the political theater. We're all, and politicus distracticus, because God is going to do something, and he's going to do something astonishing and amazing. We've all seen what the devil's doing. Heck, the devil runs the Democratic Party and all the Republicans also. I want to make this clear. I am apolitical. I don't believe there's any political solution. Yet I know how to identify the hand of God on a man. And for the record, I basically said before Trump, and this is important, was even elected, I said, when I see who hates him, a man is more known by his enemies than his friends. The bottom line is that when I see who hates him, I'm going to vote for him. God, listen, again, I said this, Doug, I think on my show, or maybe I said it on yours, but I said, if God were to take these self-righteous people and start writing in the sand, what would be written in the sand, okay? That's the nice thing about letting Jesus be our righteousness and not trying to establish our own. The greatest breakthrough in any Christian's life comes when they understand that salvation is a gift, and you can't be good enough. And this is my most unfavored statement. Well, God knows my heart. Yeah, he says it. He condemns it. It's wicked beyond all belief. Who can know it except him? That's why he said, I will put a new heart in you. I'll put my spirit in you. So here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. We will not be delivered by complacency. We will not be delivered by apathy. We will not be delivered by self-righteous religious abdication. We will be delivered by the power of Almighty God. We'll be delivered by the power of his people standing up, taking God at his promises and saying, thus saith the Lord, so shall you so shall you be brought down, Mr. Dorsey. So shall you be brought down, Mr. Zuckerberg. Because, ladies and gentlemen, guess what? I think they're up a creek without a digital paddle the minute we have a cyber attack or even a power outage. But unfortunately, they're doing everything they can to destroy. And by the way, if you don't know the history of where all these billion-dollar companies come from, just look at who funds them. The intelligence agencies, the intelligence community. Do you really think those guys are going to let their projects stand against them? Does that make sense, Doug?
Yeah, it does. And that kind of brings me, if you don't mind, just to a point that you made many times in the past, you know, trust the plan. Well, is this the way the plan is? Is this part of the plan? I mean, if it is, it sucks, but okay.
Yeah, so, it sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. So yes, makes perfect sense what you just said. Absolutely.
Well, I think it's interesting. QAnonymous. I got to say something. There's nothing I hate more than anonymous emails. I don't. I got to say this. Yep. I'm not saying I hate the people, but I hate the cowardice behind them. Now, there's a difference when somebody says, and even the honest people, some of the most powerful people, if they say a friend, once I know the body of the email, I know that they've got to stay clear. If they use a phished account, I don't care. If I can bear two or three witnesses to what information's given, but when I get the anonymous religious cowards, okay, when I get the epistles, can I make a plea again on your program? Do not send me, please, anything to read. I do not have the time. Do not send me your 40 page. 40 pages, got one the other day. 40 pages. Man, one for each, day the rain came down on Noah's Ark. I can't read that. It's not that your life isn't important to me. I cannot get sidetracked by the issues of other people. Now, if you want me to pray for you, that's a difference. And Doug, I'm praying for people more than I ever have.
Yes.
And that's a good thing. I even saw you sent me an email of somebody I prayed for, I don't know how long ago, they got healed.
Yes.
Well, that should be the testimony. You want to dress up? Because I wouldn't have known that unless you sent it to me.
Well, I think without violating any confidences, you know, Steve Quayle to me, he prays, boy, when he starts praying, man, you know, those are prayers. And we've had people that have said, look, I'm suffering from this or that. You know, can you, I don't want anything, you know, I don't want money. I wouldn't help anyway. Just pray for me. And we've gotten so many emails like that, or even on the other side, I'm homeless, pray that I find a home. Okay, of course, you know, I won't say what Steve does Steve's a very generous guy, but about the prayers, Steve has led prayer for those who are suffering, for those who are impaired, infirmed, especially his heart is with the widows and the children and the vets and the people who have given it all, you know? But we've been getting emails saying, I'm afraid you're going to be taken off the air, which your fears are founded. But Steve Quayle, led me to God, led me to Jesus. Steve Quayle, you know, prayed for me. And, Steve Quayle, you know, my ailments have lessened. Thank you for the group prayers, and Steve has led group prayers as for, you know, intervention. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is, prayer is a weapon in a sense?
See,
Okay.
Yes,
it's a weapon. It's both a defensive and an offensive weapon, but it's a very powerful tool. And I'll tell you what, man, you know, you're good at praying for and with people. So, we've gotten, I would say probably right now, well over 1,000 people, emails over the years now, not just yesterday, over the years. Well, Steve has helped people, you know, got on the phone and said, hey, let me pray with you. Or I met you at, Branson, or I met you at Bozeman, and you prayed with me. And ever since then, something's changed. Or you brought me back to Jesus. Or you've, in some cases, you've healed our marriage. That's a little dicey. But you get the point, folks. So we have that power. And I didn't, you know, until I met Steve Quayle, I didn't know I had that power. I didn't know. But we have that power. But Steve, you've done the fruits of your labor, and this is not blowing smoke. The fruits of Steve's labor are evident. It's documented, valid documentation, authenticated. And I thank God. You know what, folks? And I would urge you to do, I don't know. I thank God every day that Steve Quayle's my friend. And I'm serious. I really do. He's in my prayers every day. And I'd ask you to put Steve in your prayers every day. Because he's a warrior for Jesus. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, thank you, Doug. And I want to share something. I have a statement that has been, I guess you'd say, a foundation stone of my calling in the Lord and my, you know, let's say not wanting to do what God has called me to at times. But it's this: a man has nothing except he receive it from above. And I know that if I present Jesus biblically, historically, and out of my heart, and I can testify to the mercy of Almighty God. And at the end of the day, Doug, you know what I do? I go home and I say, God, forgive me for being such an unprofitable servant. Some people say, you put too great a demands on your life. No, because Jesus is not beyond the demands of life. But I want to, you said prayer. You remember what the disciples asked Jesus? One of the things I think is missed when they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Why did God give us prayer as opposed to walkie-talkies? Or, of course, God knew that we'd all be better off if we were taking selfies of ourselves in, some religious service and expecting God to teletext. I know that God can text us, okay? I know that there was, in the Old Testament, there's even a letter sent from heaven from Elijah after he was taken away to be with heaven. So, you know, if God writes in the Lamb's Book of Life, I somehow don't think he has a hard time communicating with us. But here's something, it's interesting. Doug, because again, Paul saying to the Ephesians, this is about prayer. And this is what this election is showing. This is what this election is showing. It is a spiritual evil. It is a canker. It is the devil trying to destroy everything that God gave us, the freedom. The devil hates freedom because he knows his days are short. The word freedom does not apply to any fallen angel or any demonic creatures that go into the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. And it says, woe unto you, inhabitants of the earth, for your devil has come down amongst you having great wrath, for he knows his time is short. Finally, my brethren, I don't know if that gave you goosebumps. Man, that gave me electricity. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There's nothing there that says be strong in yourself, be convinced in your mind, or give it your best shot. Let me read it again. Finally, my brethren, Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Lord, I have no strength. You said, that's right, but be strong in my might and in the strength that I give you. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You really believe that a political party that makes war on God, that hates Jesus Christ, that's doing everything they can to bring on the empire of Satan, you really believe you can vote for them in clear conscience? White or black, brown or yellow, or any color of the rainbow, the tree is known by the fruit it bears. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness is not self-righteousness. It is the anointed understanding that the only righteousness we have is in him. And as we learn, the only might I have is in him. The only power I have is in him. Guess what? Pretty soon you understand Jesus is a pretty big guy, and he can take care of his own and will take care of his own. And there is coming an anointing. There is coming a power, but power upon God's people. But Doug, I said this when I started ministry almost 48 years ago, and not ministry, as you know, but just being a Jesus freak, their word, not mine. By the way, the definition of Jesus freak is anybody that loves Jesus more than you do. That was what Rick Mike's mammoths told me. And the thing is that what we're doing is we're watching you're watching, ladies and gentlemen, the confrontation of good and evil. And everybody is deciding one way or another. I think this is multitudes in the valley decision for the day of the Lord's end. So have your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace does not mean the surrender to evil. It means the surrender to the Prince of Peace, that we walk in his footsteps, we share his love, we manifest his power, and we have the power at the time God releases it. Look, one of the greatest challenges in Christianity, and over, whatever, the majority of my life, is, God, where is your power? God, let me go in. And I prayed this. This is real prayer, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't for anybody's sake except the veterans. I said, God, give me an anointing. If you give me 21 days and then take my life, but give me an anointing to go into every single veterans hospital. Get me a jet. I'm sure Gary Haven would fly me. If I had that anointing, I want to go to every veterans. I want to raise up everybody. Lord, I want to see miracles. I'm not naive, Jesus, but I want to see that. And I believe by the grace of God, we're going to see that. But it won't be me going to veterans hospitals. It'll be you guys, because the power of God isn't to reside. And here's the definition of maturity versus immaturity. Maturity produces more than it consumes. The problem with Christians is they're more concerned with consuming anybody that would bring them to maturity.
Can you say that again?
I said the definition of maturity is it produces more than it consumes. Okay. Unfortunately, the power or the ability of Christians want to consume anybody that would be able to teach them that to have victory in their personal lives. Not just me, but listen, people who live in sin always find fault with those who don't. Now, I'm not talking we're not all sinners. I'm just talking about when you cannot submit to a teaching of look, this is the word of God. Steve Quayle didn't write Ephesians 6:10-24. It's not Bozeman 6:10-24. It's Ephesians. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I'm looking right now, Doug, for a shield of faith. I have someplace in my messy office, a shield of faith. I actually have a suit of armor off to my left, and it reminds me every day of this. And then here's the interesting part. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Notice what the first word is. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And Paul said, and pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And that's what we pray for on your show so many times. God, for your people, for your people, for your people. When John the Baptist said, I must decrease in order for Jesus to increase, he wasn't kidding. He wasn't kidding. Yet that even though he was called, even though he had met Jesus, when Mary was carrying Jesus in her womb and John the Baptist's mother, and they both jumped inside the womb, the bottom line is John, at the end of his life, had doubts. And I'm saying, God, please, at the end of my life, at the end of the people that you've given me charge over, Doug, I don't think you and I realize the responsibility we have from a heaven position. We sure know what it's like from an earthly position. But when God gives something, he expects results. And ladies and gentlemen, that's why I'm thanking you. When you do support Doug financially, prayerfully, ladies and gentlemen, if it weren't for Doug, I couldn't be on pleading with people. Sure, I've been on talk radio for 25 years, but there's a difference. There's a time. I'm knowing this is a specific time, for a specific, for such a time as this was Doug Hagman brought forth, but for such a time as this, so are you brought forth. It's not just keyboards sending articles. It's speaking out. It's saying out, we will not go under. We will not go under this second planned quarantine. We're not going to do it. You have a president. You have a president that basically was trying to fight the establishment. Fauci himself, Fauci, the entire vaccination, termination, annihilation people, okay? Hmm. Shot in the arm, shot in the head, either way, you end up dead. And this is what we need to know. We need to know, ladies and gentlemen, we are called for such a time as this. I'm praying for every single one of our listeners, Doug, your listeners, my listeners, our listeners, that God is going to give them a transformational encounter with Jesus. That God, they're going to go to sleep that night and they're going to see dreams and they are going to have dreams. And in the daytime, they'll be staring out and they'll see visions. For the record, I've gotten a half a dozen emails this week alone of people saying, I've never had a dream in my life. I've never had a vision in my life. And I send them and say, well, God bless you, because guess what? That's what we're praying for. There is no expectation of answered prayer in the church, and that's a tragedy. Because Jesus said, whenever two or more agree on earth as touching anything on earth, it shall be done for us by our Father in heaven. Now, obviously, there's a key to that, too. God, show us what you want us to pray for. A true intercessor listens to the Lord and prays according to the will of God. We should all pray for our children. We should all pray for our families. We should all pray for that. But pray believing, and then it's receiving. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can say you don't believe Ephesians 6, then you'll perish because of your unbelief. People say, I don't believe God still gives people the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. I don't believe in any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I said, well, I got news for you. At least you got faith and unbelief. Well, what do you mean? What do you mean? I said, you don't have any of it, and it's because you don't believe for any of it. You see, here's the thing. We set so many boundaries for our own thought processes. We think that somehow someone's going to come to rescue us. But Doug, the one who's our rescuer is the Lord. He's the good shepherd. He isn't going to abandon us. So many people are going to go to an early meeting with Jesus. I'm talking true believers. I don't know if the precursor, but are you going, and I'll ask everybody this. You can argue all you want, but it comes down to, will you take the vaccination if they make it mandatory? And if they make it mandatory, will you take it because that's the only way you can stay in your house? That's the only way you can collect Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, whatever? I'm asking God. I'm saying, Lord, when that day comes, let me stand with the faith and that God say with the patriarchs, you, Lord, are my exceeding great reward. Doug, and I told you this, and you, I know you know this. When you want to get closer to Jesus, watch what happens. People you thought were your friends turn into your mortal enemies. People that you may have had relationships with for decades, for whatever reason, they go their way, you go yours. But at all times, never lose track of the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus said he'd never leave us, he'd never forsake us. Lo, he's with us unto the end of the age, no matter what comes up out of the earth. And I'm the guy been writing about what's coming up out of the earth, coming out of the heavens, coming in the spiritual realm, all of the mythical and legendary stuff, which was a foretaste, not just a past tense, a foretaste of what's coming back on the earth in this last day for this great and noble battle. So basically, you know, we got to quit being, I would say this, succulent children, meaning we need to be breastfed on mommy's milk and start to eat the meat and stand up. And I say to you men out there, God is calling you forth. You know, I miss our brother Greg Evenson so much.
Oh, yeah.
Not just because obviously I love him. He's my friend. He's your friend and everything. But that was a man's man you could look at and see. Lord, and there are other people like that. Some of them, I can't even mention their names. But I'm telling you what, there are some powerful, powerful men out there. But they've even said to me, Steve, even if we did what you asked, and this was 20 years ago, I said, can't you guys intervene in the government? He said, who would take it over, Steve, if we did? And they would say, you know, he's on the payroll, he's on the payroll, he's on the payroll. And I lived in that world for 3 to 5 years, partially a full-scale 3 and then a couple years after that. And finally, I just, you know, Doug, you were involved with me in some of that, not actively, but you knew what was going on.
Yep.
And I basically said, look, you guys, I can't live in that world because I've got to fulfill my prime directive. My prime directive is to warn the people of God what's coming. God gave me the Joseph ministry. Nobody else gave it. God called me to be a watchman. I think you're a crummy watchman. Doesn't matter. Then perish. If you don't let it, I'll tell you this, this blew my mind this morning. I was getting ready to come on your show. I was, you know, praying. I talked to God and I pray. I said, Lord, how is this all going to play out? He said, you will live to see the day that out of the blue, you will live to see the day when many of your critics will be in such dire straits, they will ask you to pray for them. And you know what my first response is, Doug? You know me well enough. No. It's going to happen, you know? And then the Lord said, it will happen. That means they will ask and I will pray. And because again, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the day, this hasn't been about Doug Hagman. It hasn't been about Steve Quayle. Look, I'm grateful that there's fruit out there. Someone can absolutely tear me apart, tear Doug apart, and they do. Or some guy said to me, well, I'm not chastising you, but your anger caused me to turn you off. I'm so angry at sin. The scripture says you can be angry and sin not. That's the email I was referring to earlier. The bottom line is this. What are they doing with their lives? Or are they content to be one of the hive people? The hive people are just, they just buzz, okay? They got to get on their buzz board, a keyboard. Bzzz, clicky, 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 or clucky, clucky, clucky. And they think that that's really doing something. How about just going to the supermarket and saying, Lord, I want to help somebody today. I want to buy somebody their groceries. I'm not kidding, by the way, when I'm saying this. I want, Lord, you to teach me how to have a giving heart and a giving spirit. Not belligerently. I broke fellowship. I'll tell you the true story. How long do we have, Doug? A minute?
We've got about 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
True story. Friend of mine for, I think, 20 years. I broke fellowship with him when he sold a ranch. He couldn't sell his ranch, and in Bozeman, ranches went for a lot of money. I'll tell you this, it was 7 figures. He said, Steve, if God helps me sell my ranch, my land, I'll start giving. Well, guess what, Doug? He sold his ranch. We would pray. He went to my Bible study. And then I said, hey, you know, I won't tell you his name. I said, will you help these guys? He was a former vet. Well, I gave $100 at the VFW. No kidding. This before the Lord, this is true. And from that point on, I said, sorry, brother, I can no longer walk with you. And then he tried to blame his wife. And, you know, you could tell. And by the way, in that case, I think that she was 70% of the equation. But this guy was an ex-vet, you know, a combat vet. So all I can say is this. Pray that God reveals himself, ladies and gentlemen. Pray that God reveals himself. And tomorrow night with Doug, we're going to bring you to a point of giving you enough detail so you will watch it play out in real time. Because this isn't a day where just a few prophecies are being fulfilled. This is a day where the culmination of the word of God, the prophetic word of God, the timing for such a time as this, that's where we're at right now. And so, Doug, again, I bless you and I thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you with all my heart for standing with Doug financially and prayerfully. Because again, you know, I know him too well, and I do know him well. Not too well, but I know him well enough. That's a better way to say it. There's a whole lot you don't know that goes on in his life, and he fights a whole lot more than you can imagine. But this isn't about us. It's not a woe is me club. But understand this. There's fruit worldwide for the ministry, the platform that Doug gives me and others. If it weren't for that platform, people, whether they're blessed because of a sponsor or the best coffee in the world or, you know, the word of the Lord, And I'm grateful. The word of the Lord is it needs to go into people that are awake. The scripture says, awake, awake, awake. Well, at least the copy helps them get there. But only God can basically give anybody and everybody a transformational encounter. So that's what I'm praying for each and every one of Doug, your viewers, my viewers, our listeners, and to anybody whose lives are open to the Lord Jesus Christ. We just bless you in the name of the Lord and say God's day of miracles is at hand. It isn't coming in 20 years. It is at hand. Ask of me, the Lord says, and I'll show you great mighty things we know not of. Again, blessings, Doug.
Thank you, Steve. SteveQuayle.com, QFiles.tv. Tomorrow's just going to be spectacular, folks. You're going to want to subscribe to the QFiles 2.0, QFiles.tv. It's going to be a special, very special program tomorrow. Thank you, Steve. God bless. Top of the hour break. Going to be right back.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Exposing the New World Order, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network. Stand by. Doug and Joe will be back shortly.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. That's where you're going to need to go, because we're in the process of being deplatformed off of YouTube. So bookmark HagmanReport.com for your all the audio video needs. We're on Brighteon, of course, and other locations, other platforms. But and we've been notified that, you know, we're in the target, or we're a target of being deplatformed, and HagmanStore.com as well. But right now I've got just a fantastic, and I mean a fantastic guest. He's not a guest. He's part of the program. Austin Brower, HealthMasters.com. That's HealthMasters.com. Ah, my goodness. Folks, go to HealthMasters right now, after the show, or even during the show. I don't care. But please, 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 with what is coming, and I mean with what is coming, you're going to need to be in tip-top shape. And even if you don't like to exercise, I don't like to exercise, okay? I do like to have good immune system and good systemic numbers. HealthMasters.com helps me do that. That's HealthMasters.com. And while you're there, click on the blue link on the right to the Ted and Austin Brower Show. That's the premier father-son of us in the radio show on the internet. And it's just fabulous. Yeah, I learned so much in that hour. So much in their show is packed in there. But, By the way, food buckets right chair. You see it right on your screen. There you are. I don't know if they're still available. If they are Austin, are they still available? Food buckets?
This week, and then we'll have more coming in on the 20th. But what we have come in this week, we should be able to keep up with demand. Obviously, everybody has been going haywire right now, trying to make sure they're prepped for everything, whether it's ammo, whether it's vitamins, whether it's food buckets. Anybody that's awake right now realizes what's coming. So, yes, we do have food buckets in stock, ready to ship same day, organic food buckets right now.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm glad you're with me today. It's been a long week, and the last time we spoke, it was pre-election. Now it's post-election. Here's my view. I'm just going to give it to you really quick. No matter what happens, it is going to be a show. Okay. It is going to be one of the most divisive things, no matter what happens. I do happen to believe that President Trump is going to be, take the oath of office, whether it's, on an airplane, on the, you know, on a tarmac, in the White House, at the steps of the Capitol. I believe he's going to take the oath of office for a second term to, because he rightfully won. And anyone who doesn't see that, they're, to me, are you serious? You know, 102% return in a precinct or 200%?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It makes sense. So anyway, that's what I think, but to get there and after that, regardless, it is going to just be nasty. Now, that said, what do you think? And just we haven't talked since before the election, so fire away.
Yeah, no, yeah, great to be on the show, Doug. But no, you're right. We talked about it before the election. Pretty much exactly what we've been saying for months is exactly what happened. Blatant voter fraud, and there's been people arguing about this, that it's not, that it is. Dude, it doesn't take a mathematician or a rocket scientist to look at what's going on. I specifically sat up the other night intentionally to watch it. Even though I wanted to go to bed, I needed to know what was going on and kind of get an idea of where it was headed. And it was one of the most bizarre things. It was exactly like the election with Hillary. They were calling states for Biden when they had 10% votes in and Trump's winning the state, and they're like, we're going to go ahead and give this one to Biden now. Biden's going ahead and take Florida. And, yep, Texas has 5% of the votes in. Biden's got that one now. And it was so bizarre because then what happened is all these states started flipping red. They had so many votes coming in for Trump. They started flipping red. And then all of a sudden, the strangest thing, you know, you had Michigan, you had Wisconsin, you had Pennsylvania. Anybody watching, you know exactly what happened. Trump's in the lead. Trump's absolutely pulling away like a scalded dog. And all of a sudden they go, well, guess what? You know, it's midnight. We're just going to stop counting tonight. It's just, we're tired. Yeah. We got stuff to do tomorrow. I got to walk my dog. These precincts are just too busy to deal with this nonsense. This is one of those trivial things, an election, presidential election. This is just ridiculous. So we're just not going to deal with it tonight. We're going to take care of it tomorrow. And then, of course, everybody woke up and saw the complete and total shenanigans, especially on the graph that people saw from Michigan and Wisconsin. One of the most blatant and flagrant abnormalities and fraud that I've ever seen on a graph before. I've worked in vehicle tuning a lot when I was younger, dynos, especially with truck tuning, diesel trucks, tuning them, making them faster. EPA's put a squash on that now. But I've worked with a lot of dynos. And anytime you see a graph curve, you always see, you know, a curve as it goes up, and it continues to have, you know, little spikes, jumps, but they're usually very minimal and they're usually very consistent with other graphs, with other parts of the graph, especially if you do the same thing, you get repeated results. Now, if you get a massive spike where you're on a graph and all of a sudden the graph goes straight up and then starts continuing again, you generally can contribute that there's a problem with your dyno or there's an issue with some type of reading the software. Because that's virtually impossible on any type of graph. And that's exactly what we saw in Wisconsin and we also saw in Michigan, is that all of a sudden overnight, 130, 140, 150,000 votes, whatever the actual number was, 100% of those votes that came in were for Biden, not anybody else, strictly for Biden only. And it was just enough to teeter him right above Trump, and then it went back on its normal curvature going up. That's clear fraud. When you're dealing with something like a vote, votes cannot physically do that on a graph. You've never seen that in recorded history where votes do that in a true republic election, where there's actually a true election and not some type of voter fraud. So when I first woke up and saw that, that's when I knew. I was like, okay, something's obviously getting very strange here. And then, of course, all now we start seeing these districts, like you said, you know, there's 100,000 registered voters and there's 130,000 votes. Nevada's been horrible about it. Now Pennsylvania, who is pretty much Trump was leading in, they now just came out a little bit ago. I just saw this on Zero Hedge. They said that multiple counties here in Pennsylvania says they will not be counting over 35,000 ballots until Friday now due to the need to perform administrative work. Nobody can get the answer why other than administrative work, but they will be taking off now and they will begin counting the ballots on Friday. And numerous people now have said the only reason you would have this is because they're trying to make sure they can get enough numbers to clear on the ballots, because pretty much they don't, they need Biden to win by just a hair, a fraction right now in one of these states so they can push it over. The rallies said enough. Now, granted, rallies aren't voting. I get that. You saw the Trump rallies versus the Biden rallies. You saw the amount of support publicly on social media for Trump via Biden. You saw all these instances where social media started deplatforming different pages because they would talk about anything about Biden, completely remove them, ban them, block them, drop them. Anything about Trump, let it go. It was free reign. So we already knew this was coming, back to what we were originally saying. The issue we found now, Doug, is I was talking to Ted about this morning. We're in a very precarious situation because regardless of, you know, if Biden legitimately won in a true constitutional republic election, it would be very clear. It's also very clear if he cheated. And if Trump won, it would be very clear. You could see from everything leading up that Trump was going to take this win very easily. Now, regardless if you're pro-Trump, regardless if you're pro-Biden, it doesn't matter in the sense that this level of fraud can never be tolerated in a republic. This, if this goes through and they actually really try to let him take the oath, they let Biden take the oath with this much blatant fraud, with Rudy Giuliani having to fly into Pennsylvania now, with lawsuits being brought up in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Nevada now, all over the place because they're refusing to even allow observation of all these mail-in ballots, these photos and videos we have found of Trump, you know, ballots literally in trash cans, in garbage bins, in drainage ditches. There's clear that there's something going on very sinister. And so if we sat back idly by right now and we just go, you know what, it is what it is, we're just going to accept it even though they cheated, we've essentially turned into a banana republic. We're a third world country at that point, because at that point – our votes literally don't matter. I already have a very difficult time believing a lot of our votes really matter. I think with a true, strong patriot group, with true of votes in a republic, it still matters. But they basically are slapping us in the face right now. They're saying, oh, why'd you flinch? You go, dude, you just slapped me in the face. Why'd you slap me in the face? I didn't slap you in the face. That's conspiracy theory. You're nuts. They slap you again in the face. They go, why are you jerking back? Dude, you slapped me in the face again. What's your problem? I didn't slap you in the face. You're a racist. What? How am I a racist? You're a racist. I didn't slap you in the face. You're making stuff up, conspiracy theory. That's what they're doing right now. And so if we just sit back and watch blatant fraud attempt on a presidential election, then we've lost the country. It's over with. And then now, as you just said, if Trump basically brings this to the Supreme Court, if he basically stands his ground on this, which I really hope he does, we're going to have probably one of the most violent leftist revolutions we've ever seen with these groups, including Antifa and BLM, and the list goes on. I mean, there were groups in Washington State the other day, Washington, D.C. They were screaming, F Biden, F Trump, F everybody. We don't need a president. We're walking down the line to full-blown anarchy now is what they're trying to do. And remember, this whole thing has been orchestrated. Trump warned everybody. We warned everybody. Everybody knew what was going on. This is one of the reasons why we're starting to see the reasoning that COVID exploded allegedly all over the country, even though now you have the CDC who's refusing to even count flu deaths for the first time in like 40 years now. I brought that up yesterday on our show. They're showing that the annual the deaths per month, they were coming in at like 83, 112, like nationally with the flu. To the point now where they're saying, well, listen, COVID can mimic symptoms, flu can mimic COVID. So right now, counting the flu is really just not that big of a deal. We need to count on COVID. Oh, really? Is that, so that's what we're doing now. Because obviously, as I've already told you guys from numerous research over the last 6 months, the aspect of COVID, A, the test is completely and totally fraudulent. Even Fox and numerous agencies have already come out now and said, listen, there's about a 60% chance it's inaccurate. It's not an accurate test. It can show up, any viral particle will show up a positive for COVID. And we're starting to see now that majority of people you talk to that are healthy, take vitamin C, vitamin D, at least even exercise moderately, that have caught COVID, they're over it in a couple days. So the narrative has to continue to push the COVID, COVID, COVID narrative, which in turn is bringing in the vaccine narrative. And this presidential election is just another massive obfuscation. Is it a very big one? Is it a very important one? Yes. But it's another one to distract us from what's really happening. There's an article that just came up from MSN.com last night. And they came out now and they said the future market for COVID vaccines will be worth at least $10 billion in annual revenue for pharmaceutical companies, according to industry experts. They're saying that if COVID continues to come about every year and we continue to have these vaccines between Europe, the United States, and other industrialized countries, the COVID vaccine will bring roughly $25 billion annually every single year, Doug. $25 billion a year. Now, remember, that's just the COVID vaccine. The flu vaccine brings in between $5 to $6 billion every year just in the United States. And then you can continue to go down the line with the DTaP and the MMR and the rest of them on what they use on all these kids. So that's why I told you guys before, the pharmaceutical industry last year, their gross, I think, was $580 billion. That was their market cap in the United States, $500 billion. This whole industry is designed to bring massive amounts of money to this pharmaceutical industrial complex, and that's exactly what COVID's done. And on top of that, it's been a huge distraction to get 80 million plus ballots out there. I've seen some reports now, people were saying they got 3 and 4 different mail-in ballots to their house. They got ballots to houses that people didn't live to. They had ballots for people that had already died. There have been ballots getting handed out like Pez dispensers all over the country, and now they're saying that Biden has had the most votes in recorded U.S. history of any president now. Now, I don't know if anybody else has watched him on any other news networks, on any debates, and any interviews. The man's got full-blown dementia. Half the time he can't even put a sentence together unless he's on some type of drug or amphetamine, whatever they're pumping him full of. You saw what people were doing with rallies. You saw how many signs you saw for Biden. None. Not at least around here. Now, does that equate to votes? No. But again, think about what we're actually looking at and how many people have voted and how many people have been registered. The fraud is so blatant. We have to make a stand on this, Doug. And so, I mean, what do you really think is the best way, the option to handle this? Because obviously it's probably going to take direct engagement in the near future.
I'm glad you asked because, I'm like a broken record. I often refer to the Battle of Athens, McMinn County, Tennessee, August 1st and 2nd, 1946, when guys actually had balls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the crime family that was in while these patriots were out fighting for their country, they returned and found the crime family that had taken over their county. They wanted to watch the votes being counted. They said the crime family said, no, you're not going to do that. So patriots went to the armory, and this is a very short version of a long story. Patriots went to the armory, got the weapons out, and came back and said, oh yeah, we are. Which brings me to the point today where we see these poll watchers taking pictures of people putting up coverings over the windows and having the glass doors locked. My question to you as a poll watcher, you've got one friggin' job. Okay, one job as a poll watcher to watch them count, the votes. Why are you taking pictures of this? You rip that shit down, you kick the door in, and you go in there and you say, I'm here to do my job. And if they try to kick you out, then of course you got to do what you got to do. But you got one job to do. Don't tweet. Don't send me pictures. Don't write a letter. Don't show righteous indignation on Twitter and Facebook. You do your job. And you don't tell anyone, or no one should tell you no. I'm done. And I'll tell you, people know where I stand. I'm ready. And it's time. End of story.
No, that's well said. Yeah, you're right, though. I saw the video posted up this morning of them basically putting these giant, you know, poster boards up in front of the windows so nobody could see inside. And what's crazy about it is there was no significant violence going on outside. You know, people weren't going and trying to throw rocks through the windows. They're being blatantly shady, and they're being shady.
In this case, I'd back the rocks in this case. I would say, yeah, that's what, you know what? You break the windows, walk in, because, you know, that, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it's interesting because, oh, a mantra of the left, and even what is it, New York Times or Washington Compost or whatever, democracy dies in darkness. Well, what in the world are you doing putting this stuff up, right? Putting up the shields. You're making it dark in there. I'm going to tell you something. This republic, we are at the point of no return. Austin, if we physically do not take action, I'm not talking about violence. I'm talking about doing our jobs. Then we don't deserve the republic, in my view. And you might point the finger at me and say, well, hey, Doug, what are you doing? Well, first of all, I'm engaged in civil disobedience. I stood in line for 50 minutes, 5-0, to vote. That's not civil disobedience. I had no mask on. I was waiting, just waiting for somebody to come in and dress me down about that. I walked in without a mask. My wife wasn't too happy. That's civil disobedience. I've gone into stores without masks. I refuse to. I've encouraged others to do the same. Because if we all do it, what are they going to do? Arrest all of us?
Okay.
Exactly. But also, there are things that I'm doing behind this that I'm not going to get into. But you know what? It's not about being on the radio. It's not about being behind the keyboard. It's about action. And by the way, it's about time. Action. We start. And am I engaging or am I advocating violence? No. But if it's brought to my doorstep, then okay. But I'm not backing down. Steve Bannon, I don't like him, don't like him, I don't care. Steve Bannon, War Room, laid it all out this morning on his show. And he did say, you watch that, that President Trump is gonna be, sworn in for a second term. You know what? If this was the second term of Obama, I'd be just as angry. Okay. I would be just as angry if the right did this, because this is not America.
No.
You know, and I'm not going to leave this crap to my children's children in order. No, I need to clean this up. And I think all patriots better be out there and be ready to clean this up. That's just my two cents. Okay. Hopefully you solicited that question, but if not,
that's well said, Doug, because there's definitely been a significant amount of engagement from a lot of people I've seen now trying to go down there, especially in Nevada. I've seen it, Michigan. A lot of people are getting really irritated. You know, down here in Florida, they tried to call it for Biden super early, and it wasn't even nothing. I mean, we knew what was going to happen, and even I personally think they even tried to grossly cheat in Florida. But see, Florida is a little different because the ballot counting and when they have to be in by, even the mail-in ballots, DeSantis made sure there would be no games in the state at all. You know, you got some of these states like California, what they say, as long as they're received by like November 20th, they're going to be counted. I mean, I think it was another place in Illinois said by November 16th. I mean, they're just coming up with numbers out of their butt. They're just pulling them. Well, as long as we have the ballot by March 2021, we're going to count it. They already knew this was going to happen. They were planning on it. That's why they did the disclosure from the beginning. And they said, hey, we have to do this extended ballots. We have to make sure these ballots can come in super late because of COVID. The funny thing is, the post office didn't have any issues getting these ballots in. They did their job actually very, very well and effectively for the most part that I have personally seen. Even shipments here at Health Masters, we haven't really had any delays. Everything's been shipping out good, and the stuff getting our customers. Post office had extra staff in. They've been doing an exceptional job from what I have seen. Now, does that mean all of them have? I don't know. But what we've seen now in some of these states is where they're blatantly already have ballots in, And they're refusing to count them to the next day, like in Pennsylvania right now. They have ballots basically that show up in the middle of the night after they said they stopped counting. And all of a sudden they say, oh, well, they came in overnight. Well, I thought you stopped counting at 1 o'clock in the morning. And all of a sudden ballots show up at five. And now you suddenly count 130 ballots, 130,000 ballots in the middle of the night when you said you stopped counting. And 100% of them are for Biden.
Philadelphia. I mean, come on, man. Yeah. Philadelphia.
And so, and you're exactly right with this. If this would have been something with Obama and the Republican would have pulled something of this stunt to this magnitude of this blatant fraud, you can't even argue it. You can't even rebuttal it. You can't even justify it. I'd kind of take a step back and be like, gosh, this is embarrassing. Like, I can't believe they tried to pull something off like this. This is, you know, just, like you said, it's un-American.
I just got to share this with you. Just real quick, back in the early, mid-90s, I was doing an investigation, narcotics-related investigation. This woman was stealing narcotics from patients. I mean, patients that really needed them, that were absolutely in pain. Just a very cruel thing to do. So I had set up a video camera, or a video surveillance camera that was micro video. And back then, micro is not like today. I mean, in the 90s, micro was this big, okay? But anyway, caught this woman. I mean, caught this woman in high def at that time. So I called the cops, and cops came. I said, hey, check this out. And she was in the room. I explained the situation. She was in the room. And, I had the TV all set up, and I showed the police officers the surveillance video. She looked, and this is what my head hurts even talking about this. She said, that's not me. Okay. And the police, and this is in living color. And the police officer said, that's not you. Somebody else is wearing the same clothes you're wearing right now. That's not me. And then she said, well, I didn't take anything. Okay. So the female police officer said, do me a favor, walk over here with me, empty your pockets. She emptied her pockets, and lo and behold, there were drugs, narcotics. And she said, I didn't take those. Okay, you know, my head was just about ready to explode, even thinking about it right now. And it was so in your, I mean, you know, when you're caught, you're caught. So the reason I told you that story is because this is what we're seeing today. You've got the left saying, well, he didn't do that. It's not us. And it's not me. I didn't change that ballot. I didn't do that. I didn't take that ballot box home with me that night. Although we have it, it's on video. That's not me. Oh, I didn't do it. What are you ordering, a friggin' pizza? Taking a pizza with you? You know, it's just BS. One thing, folks, healthmasters.com. Before I go any further, healthmasters.com. If you don't order today, I don't know what to tell you. Order today, because you're going to need to stock up. And if you have one bottle, get another one. Okay? Folks, please, please, because we need you healthy for what's coming. Healthmasters.com, healthmasters.com. And while you're there, educate yourself. Listen to the finest hour on radio with Ted and Austin Brower. You think Austin's good now? Oh, he's holding back. He's holding back on me. The food buckets, there they are. Get them. Get them. And if you choose to, if you say, well, I don't need them, give them to your family for Christmas. If that's what you do. But please, I beg of you, they're the best products out there. Healthmasters.com, vitamin C. I'll tell you what, I take some vitamin B, and, my wife says, what's wrong with you? I mean, what do you mean? You are like on fire. It's the vitamin B from Healthmasters. There it is. And vitamin C. I haven't had a cold or the flu since I started taking Healthmasters. I'm not making any claims. I'm just stating a fact. Makes me feel, they make me feel good. Immune system boost, healthmasters.com. Sorry, I wanted to get that in there because you guys have a great product, and people need to know. And, you know, thank you for what you do, by the way, both the product as well as the information. Thank you. And your dad.
Thank you, Doug. I mean, it goes the same way. And I mean, another one too that I love that I run a lot of times, and people, once they use it, they like it quite a bit. It's the attention factor. It's basically non-caffeinated stimulant. I know you like it as well. And there's certain things right now that we have to stay acute on. We have to continue to get this news out here. And that's why you do what you do. That's why we do what we do, is that we have to continue to try to get the truth out there, because like you said, we're getting lied to our face. That's not me on camera. I didn't take those drugs. I didn't take those. That's not me. I mean, we already saw it with everything with Biden from the very beginning. And then when the whole scandal came out with his son and the laptop, we didn't do anything with that. Nothing to do with that. It's total fake news. And this is what we already knew, they were going to do this, because this is what career criminals do. They lie. They continually lie. And still the issue we have, and this is just a problem that it occurs living in this big world, as Christians and as patriots that are upstanding citizens and have morals and ethics and base a lot of their decisions and their lifestyle off biblical principles, we don't lie. I'm very funny about that. I try to be as truthful and as accurate as I can with everybody. I'm very straightforward, actually. Sometimes people get irritated with me because I'm so curt with a lot of things. And so when we come down to stuff, we do something wrong. You know, Ted always taught me, because you make a mistake, you own it. It's not somebody else's fault. It's not their fault. You're the last line. You own it. You messed up. You fix it now. I would. Well, that's the problem now. What these individuals do, especially these far leftists with Biden and a lot of their little minion followers, is that it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter who gets caught. It doesn't matter how big the lie is. They never tell the truth. Because, I mean, they're not Christians. Their God is pretty much Lucifer. Whether or not they want to admit it or believe it or justify it, doesn't matter. That's the only way you can operate like this and continue to lie, steal, steal, and rob from people and turn right around and go, I didn't do that. I didn't steal anything. I didn't do anything like that. I don't know what you're talking about. You're crazy. And this is what we found ourselves in now. And so the problem is, there's only really two options. We either stand our ground and push unbelievably hard back and say, no, you are lying. We're calling your bluff. Try me. Or we basically take a step back and go, well, you know what? We're just going to sit back and accept it. And that's just not my personality. I know it's not yours, because we're not going to go to their approach. We're not going to start lying and cheating and stealing and robbing just because that brings us down to their level of debauchery and degeneracy. We're never going to go to that level, because if we go to that level, then we're just as bad and just as pathetic as they are. And so we can't do that. So we have to continue to get the truth out. And so, again, I appreciate, you know, everybody as far as it supports our show, supports the Hagman. And I had an email come in the other day. You know, I know a lot of people have been stressed out right now. And they go, man, I have a hard time sleeping. I said, listen, get the melatonin. The melatonin that we carry is probably one of the only ones that works very well in the system. It's sublingual. It dissolves under your tongue. I can't get that information out there any clearer. I've had people go, I haven't used melatonin. It doesn't work. I've tried the one from Walmart. It did nothing. And I'm like, try ours. I got a 90-day money-back guarantee. You like it, keep it. If you don't want it and it really doesn't work for you, send it back. But I rarely ever get a return on that product. Because there's also been research more and more now that high doses of melatonin, which I don't recommend you start off doing that, especially if you're older, because it can put you kind of groggy the next day. But they've already shown that 10, 15, 20 milligrams of melatonin has huge antioxidant properties to it, free radical scavenger properties to it. It can actually protect the brain and other aspects, including the heart. So melatonin is crucial, and getting sleep is crucial. I'm one of the worst about that, and I know it. That's why I hammer the melatonin every night. I'll get something rolling. I'll get stuff going. I'll be writing an article, or I'll be on the phone with people. I'll be doing work. You know, before long, it's, you know, 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, man, I got to get up at 7. I need to go to bed. And so the melatonin really helps keep you on that, especially now with people being stressed out. But again, this isn't a time to get stressed out. This isn't a time to get fearful. This is the time to have grit. This is the time to stand our ground and say, hey, listen, this is what we have to do. This is what we're not going to allow. Because, and we have to get prepared for also, too, on top of that, the situation that's going to occur after it. The American population stands their ground, which I expect them to do. Donald Trump stands his ground, which I expect him to do. The election is an attempted coup by Biden, which they're currently doing. And Trump's basically going to step in, and the American populace is going to back him for the most part on standing his ground as a president. we're going to have an uprising probably like we haven't seen in 150 years since the Civil War. There's going to be people, there's already a significant amount of riots in Portland and D.C., Washington. They're all over the place right now. And you just think that's bad. Wait till Donald Trump steps in, especially if he has to get the Supreme Court involved and said, okay, we have blatant voter fraud. This is like not going to work. It's going to be serious. And that's why I've encouraged everybody, you know, you got your weapons, you got your guns, you got your ammo, you got your food, you got your water, you got your supplements. Keep everything on deck. You know, last night, me and two of my buddies, they came over and we ended up doing outdoor legs, but incorporated tap drills do it, you know, as far as doing box squats with AR-15s and doing sprints as far as with rifle, actually know how to carry your rifle when you're sprinting. A lot of people don't know how to do that. They flop around like a fish and they're trying to run. They're all off balance, you know, walking lunges all across the backyard. And I'm unbelievably sore today. I'll be honest with you that right now. You were talking earlier about not working out. I love working out, but working out and being unbelievably sore with legs, I've never gotten past it. It just, the next day you get up, you go to sit down at the table and you hurt and you're like, why did I train like that yesterday? It's a horrible mistake. But really in the long run, it's not, because sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And right now I encourage everybody, if you're able-bodied, especially if you're young, you're 20, 30 years old and you're awake, it's that time to stay awake right now. We got more dry drills we're getting prepped for tonight. We got comms and everything. And not because we want to walk around and feel cool. To be honest with you, I'd rather chill out and hang out with the kids at night. I already work too much as it is. I don't want to be doing it until the night, training with night vision and comms all night. But on the other hand as well, the only way to get prepped and ready for something, especially as the defensive man in your neighborhood, is you have to know what you're doing. You have to know entry points. You have to know cover from concealment. You got to make sure you're well equipped and you understand how to move and rebound and everything else, bounding movements. So again, I encourage everybody, continue to please keep practicing, keep prepping. If you don't want to burn ammo, I don't blame you on that right now. It's expensive. So do dry drills. Make sure all mags are empty. Make sure all guns are unloaded. Make sure everybody checks their mags and guns so you don't have a, you know, negligent discharge because you didn't realize the mag was loaded. And, you know, practice reloads. Practice moving. Practice engagement from cover and concealment. And do things you have to do right now because we're coming to a head. As you just said, Doug, just what happened in Athens. I remember that story when you brought it up. I think they actually made a movie about that a while back ago.
Yeah, although the movie has some inaccuracies in it.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah. It kind of was leftist biased, but the fact is, there are various places. If you just search Battle of Athens 1946 or McMinn, Tennessee, you can find a number of sites where you can read about it. Please read about it as opposed to watch it because it's better for you. But go ahead.
Oh yeah. I always encourage reading. What a lot of times I like to do with movies like that is I like to read the full historical synopsis on what happened. And there's a film worth watching the film after you read about it. And then you can kind of pick out what you see with the inaccuracies because you're right. I haven't seen that. I've seen parts of that film years ago, but I remember reading about it much better than I do remember the movie. I think it was like black and white too, if I'm not mistaken.
I think they did it intentionally. Yes.
Okay. Maybe that's what it was. Okay. Anyways, regardless, it doesn't matter. Read about it. I encourage everybody to read about it. And see, that was on a smaller scale. And that's, like you said, that's when America actually had some balls and stood up for American freedom in a constitutional republic. Nowadays, half the American populace can't figure out what toilet to use anymore and can't figure out what color they want to tie-dye their hair next week. And so that's, sad part is, that's kind of where we found ourselves in this country, which means the last standing patriots in this country have to continue to stand our ground. Because this country, eventually, every empire has always fallen. Let's just be real about that. No empire ever lasts forever. But on the other hand with that as well, it doesn't have to be on our watch yet. And we definitely don't have to stand here and watch it happen and take it with a grin on our face. That doesn't have to happen either. We can at least be boisterous. We can at least be physical and we can at least make a stand and say, this is not going to go well. This is not going to go over all. There's still enough of us that are going to stand up for truth and what's right. Because sitting back and doing nothing about it, quite frankly, at that point, in my opinion, you're almost as bad as they are. Because you know they're cheating, you're watching them cheat, and you're too lazy to get off your ass and do something about it. Excuse my language, I apologize. But that's something that a lot of people don't want to do anymore. They don't want to be engaged anymore. Like you said, with the mask, people still walk around Auburndale. People still walk around Florida. I had a giant confrontation at the mall last week in Florida. I think I told you about that. I talked about it on our show. Went to the mall in Millennia. Went to buy some stuff for Lana. and basically got formally kicked out of a store right after we got there, not too long. One store wouldn't let me in, went to another store. Basically, they told me it's private property, and Orange County PD was going to be dispatched if I did not leave because I was not going to wear a mask. And I said, I have a medical condition. I have a medical condition. They said, doesn't matter, store policy. I said, so you're telling me the American Disability Act doesn't apply to me? I have a medical disability, and you're telling me it doesn't matter, I have to wear a mask? No exemptions. You have to wear a mask now. I said, no. They said, we're not going to help you then in the store. I said, newsflash, I'm asking for your help. You came up and it costed me. I'm trying to buy something from you. I'm trying to give you my money. And she goes, well, we're not going to check you out. And I'm like, you're telling me you're refusing me service because I have a medical condition. We're refusing you service because you refuse to wear a mask. And I looked at him, and, you know, the look on her face and just the idiotic behavior has shown me, unfortunately, that there is a vast portion of the populace that are complete and total idiots.
Yep.
And I don't mean like retarded, like you have a mental disability. I mean complete and total idiots.
Yep.
That if they basically didn't get told to wipe, use toilet paper, they'd probably wipe their butts with their hand. That type of idiot. Moronic. And I got exposed to that in Orlando last weekend. And so I was like, okay, listen, I'm either about to get arrested again, which I've been arrested in the past. Anybody's understand that. So but don't give me a hard time about it. It's for dumb stuff. One was for weapons. The other one was basically for reckless driving. So I've had people bring that up to me the last couple weeks. So, Ghostin, you've been arrested before? Listen, long time ago, I've gotten past that. I've learned also, too, what not to do to get myself in those situations. And when people start using the term private property and people start using the term police are being dispatched, I know real quick, you're about to get trespass warned. I've already been there, done that. Yeah. And so, but again, how far are we going to continue to submit? And that's the same thing like you said, Doug. I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm not going to wear a mask.
But you know,
I'm not going to wear a mask. The CDC already said it doesn't work. It's better if you're infected.
Yeah, exactly. But my question to people out there, if you're listening to this show, yet you still wear a mask, why not be like Austin and just not wear a mask? I refuse to. Look, I was in Lowe's and Home Depot. I had to go in. I don't wear a mask. And you know what? No one gives me a – they might look. They might give me some glares, but come here. You know, come on. Tell me. But here's the thing. If everyone did that, that believes in what you're saying, are they going to arrest all of us?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what are they going to do?
No. And the problem is a lot of people are so scared of basically doing something for fear of reprisal. They don't want to be arrested. I can tell you there's way worse things than being arrested. And that's living like a peasant under tyranny. You talk to some individuals from other countries that have fled here, truly fled here. Dude, there's a whole nother level of tyranny that can ensue when you no longer have your rights, when you do not have a constitutional republic, when you do not vote for your leaders. They just basically make themselves dictators or führers. When you have your firearms stripped from you and you no longer have the right to defend yourself, like we're seeing in Australia now. I talked about on our show today, on the Health Master show, that we've had a real good customer in Australia. He's been emailing me a ton. I've got multiple customers in Australia. And he emailed me and he goes, don't let them do this, you guys. Don't let them do it. He goes, we all know it's fraud. We're watching it down here in Australia. He goes, we're basically zip-tied. We're hog-tied. We can't do anything. We got disarmed in the 90s. And after that, it was over with. Crime soared. The government became tyrannical. Now you see what they're doing down there. I mean, you basically can't even leave your house. You get caught, 5 kilometers away from your home. You get a $10,000 fine. They're saying in other parts and in Victoria, people show up from other areas. You have to refuse them service at a restaurant. If you refuse them service, you're forbidden. You're dirty. You got leprosy. You have to go home. We're going to not serve you. Or the restaurant gets fined. I mean, they're taking it to a whole other level of tyranny down there. Mm-hmm. One of those reasons why is because the politicians, the leaders, they're not scared anymore of their citizens. There always has to be a healthy fear between citizen and politician. There's in the United States, it's a government by the people, for the people. Back in the day, you start doing some dumb stuff, you better watch out. Especially if you get voted out, people are going to say, you know, we don't like you around here, man. You didn't do anything your constituents wanted. Basically, you're pushing your own agenda. And see, once the firearms are taken, there is no more healthy balance and respect anymore. Because now you have one side that has all the law enforcement, that has all the basically control, that has the ability to dictate laws. And then you have the citizens who, what, beg to go take a piss? Ask for permission to go outside, ask for permission to go to the store. I mean, look what they're doing in Paris right now. They got checkpoints everywhere. Can't even go outside or go down the road without going to a checkpoint. For what? A virus that has a 99.8% survival rate? And then I saw an article the other day. I didn't even realize the CDC has this on their website. I didn't even realize this. I've heard some people briefly mention it, but nobody's really gone into detail. And this actually got pushed out the end of July this year. And people need to look it up and understand. I encourage people to read it. I'm put it on the website. And it says, interim operational considerations for implementing the shielding approach to prevent COVID-19 infections. Shielding approach. I've heard that term used before. It's right off the CDC website. I think you've read it too, haven't you, Doug?
I have not, but do tell.
Do tell. Okay, yeah. That's the thing. I was new to it as well. I was like, what is this? Started doing some research. And then I went to the CDC's website and started just looking at stuff. Somebody sent me a link. And it says, the document presents considerations from the respective from the U.S. Centers of Disease Control for implementing the shielding approach in settings as outlined. Goes on to say here, the considerations are based on current evidence known about the transmission and severity of the COVID-19 and may need to be revised as more information becomes available. Then at the very top, it says, what is the shielding approach? You can see that where you see that right there. What is the shielding? I want people to see this. What is the shielding approach? Yeah. What is the shielding approach? Well, I'm glad everybody asked. The shielding approach aims to reduce the number of COVID-19 cases by limiting contact between individuals at higher risk of developing severe diseases and general population. High-risk individuals would be temporarily relocated to safe or green zones established at the household, neighborhood, camp, or community level, depending on the context and setting. They'd have minimal contact with family members and other low-risk residents. Wait a minute. Are you telling me that they're already saying that if they want to have camps set up to quarantine people? Yeah, that's exactly what they're saying. Okay. So maybe if something like Ebola or the Black Plague comes out, they need to be prepared. Even though they're applying it to COVID-19, let's see how draconian it gets, though. Okay. So then it says the levels. It's got these different levels. And it says levels, household level, a specific room or area designated for high-risk individuals who are physically isolated from other household members. And then it says, goes on here, and then it has camp sector level. And I'm like, okay, here we go. Camp sector level. This is on the CDC's website. A group of shelters such as school, community buildings within a camp sector with individuals or where high-risk individuals are physically isolated together. One entry point is used for exchange of food and supplies. A meeting area is used for residents and visitors to interact while fit practice physical distancing. No movement into or outside the green zone will be allowed. And then it goes on to discuss these other aspects of considerations, suggestions, and shielding documentation. And I'm not going to go into that. I'm trying to put on the website.
Are you telling me that there's camps for patients?
Yeah, there you go, right? Because that's all been a conspiracy theory for the last 6 months, remember? That's why I brought this up. People go, dude, they're not going to do that. And then I go, okay, let's see what COVID does. Well, now we know it's basically everything's COVID. Heart disease is COVID. Diabetes is COVID. Flu is COVID. Everything's COVID now, as we've already seen. CDC's already telling us what they're going to do. Numerous other agencies have already talked about this. They've been talking about quarantine and FEMA camps for the last decade. Everybody's heard about it now. Well, so now we have this situation where we're going to have, and I'm in my projection, this is my honest opinion, we're going to have some civil unrest that we have never witnessed in this country as far as in my generation's time. You may have seen some of it in the 60s, but I don't know. I think it's going to be significant over the next 4 to 6 months. And at the same time, what are we going to have right around the corner? Oh, we're going to have a COVID explosion again. And what are we going to have right behind that? Oh, we got a vaccine coming out now. You got to take your vaccine. And how do we know once this vaccine doesn't come out, how they push it down the line, they're not going to start saying, hey, if you don't get a vaccine, we're going to have to quarantine you now. We're basically going to have to keep you and shelter you and shield you, shielding approach. I don't know, but honestly, I talked to you on the show in February when all this stuff started happening. Told people to get your immune system strong. We'll get through this. Continue to be smart. Take your vitamin C, your vitamin D, your iodine. A lot of y'all did. Listen to me. And then all of a sudden, it continued to get worse. And then we had lockdowns, and everybody got pissed about that, and then it came open. And then we saw more and more restrictions, and the churches being closed, and people being fined. And so, quite frankly, when you say, Austin, do you think that's going to happen? I don't know. Would I be surprised if they start doing full-blown quarantine camps and isolating people that don't want to be vaccinated? Quite frankly, it would not surprise me right now. because 2020 has been one of those times where obviously all the stops have been pulled. The globalists are in it now.
They're ready to play
again.
I think every Christian, every conservative Christian needs, in my view, and every rational human being, especially the men. I'm speaking to the men. Because guys, I believe we're appointed to protect, our wives and our children. But anyway, Austin, let me ask you a question. If they said, okay, we're coming, you need to take the vaccine, or we're going to take your house, or whatever the consequences might be. Are you going to do it? Or if they say, well, you need to register or turn in your firearms for – you need to turn them in, or we're going to arrest you. I guess my question to you is, there are so many potential flashpoints out there, and I've asked you this before. Do you have a line in the sand? I think, and my question to the,
yes.
Okay. What's your line in the sand?
I got two big lines, the big fat, thick lines on the ground that I don't like. They're real dirty, but they're real wide and they're very clear. And I spray painted them with bright red spray paint. The first line is, myself and my family will not be forcibly vaccinated, nor will I consent to a vaccine. Mm-hmm. That's just that. That's about as clear as I can get. The second one is, I will not disarm and I will not register my firearms under any circumstances whatsoever. Fines, liability, litigation, laws, doesn't matter. Anytime any country has mandated that firearms be registered, it has always and will always lead to confiscation. There's absolutely zero reason for the government to know what firearms you own. Zero. Don't care how leftist, liberal you are, there's no reason for a law-abiding citizen to have to disclose what firearms are in his safe, period. And that comes the same way when it comes to banning them, that comes to tax stamps, that comes to fining. There's no more question about that. We have hit the wall. I know Biden's been discussing taxing magazines and taxing rifles. There's no tax. Those guns don't exist. Don't know where they're at. Never had them. Boating accident, probably. Not sure. Let somebody borrow all of them. There will be none. And that's the thing that people have to realize. Those are my two lines. And everybody's got their own convictions on it. But once you allow yourself, and the reason why, let me explain myself very briefly, because I know the show's almost over. The first one, the vaccine. Doesn't matter what your beliefs are in vaccines. If you think your kids need to get shot with vaccines, that's your belief. If you're uneducated on it, that's fine. Do some research. I've got plenty of articles on the website. You can do research on it. The biggest thing to me is consensual vaccination. If you want to get shot up with a vaccine, by all means. If you want to go shoot up heroin, it's illegal. Oh, apparently you can go to Oregon now and you can go shoot up heroin.
They're bizarre.
Bizarre, right? I'm not even going to get into that. I'm a big proponent of CBD and medical cannabis. I always have been, from some of the health benefits. There's no health benefit to methamphetamine or heroin. Let's just be clear on that. There's no positive. That stuff's the devil. But turning around and throwing people in prison because they're addicts isn't good either. But there really needed to be a little bit more balance. Telling people we're going to decriminalize pretty much all hard drugs for recreational usage now, I don't think it's going to go well at all. But again, that's a whole nother story for a whole nother show. The consent. Everybody has the right to consent. If people want to pull the abortion card and say it's my body, my right, which I don't even agree with the aspect of abortion, but if they want to say it's my body, my right, then I have the right to say it's my body, my right. You can't tell me to take a vaccine. I'm not going to consent. I'm not going to say yes. And you do not have the right to fine me, jail me, arrest me, harass me, or prosecute me because I have not given you consent to inject something into my body. It's very clear in the Constitution of the United States. Now, if you're sick, you need to obviously keep yourself in a house in quarantine. That's just simple respect to other people. If you're running around coughing and hacking, that's not okay either. But consent on what goes inside of your body will always be a standpoint of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And that comes to me when it comes to vaccinations, especially when I know that they're putting aborted fetal tissue, they're putting RNA changing stuff in these vaccines. And the second part of it is with the firearms and the Second Amendment was there for one reason only. It wasn't to go dove hunting. It wasn't to go bang stick gators. It wasn't to go deer hunting. It was simply there to stand your ground in the event that the government went full tyrannical and did what basically England did to them. That's the only reason for the Second Amendment. And anybody that wants to argue it, you can look up every single context from almost every founding father on why they wrote it, how they wrote it, the reasoning for they wrote it. It all goes back and supports the exact same aspect. It's there to defend your family and your country in the event that a government comes tyrannical, or if you have an invading force, which at that point in time was England, was an invading force that they left. That's the only reason it was there. If you tell the very people that you're keeping firearms because you want to make sure they don't go tyrannical, that they have the now permission to register your firearms and serial your firearms in a database and monitor your firearms and tell you how big a capacity your firearms can handle and what firearms you can have. That's horrible. We already had what happened in 1986. 1986 with the Firearm Protection Act that Reagan signed, yep, that banned machine gun purchases later on after 1986 for any civilians as far as newly manufactured machine guns. That was and has been one of the most egregious invasions of our firearm rights. And it's something that I wasn't even born then. So I was born into that situation 2 years later. But what I found is the more I researched it, that was a huge, huge monumental step with restricting our access because they did not want civilians to have belt-fed machine guns. And they say, well, those are weapons of war. Okay. What do you think we're at right now? Do you not think we're in a war? We have the leftist communists in the middle of the streets rioting and firebombing cities while we have a leftist communist wannabe president who's blatantly trying to overthrow a constitutional republic election. If that doesn't constitute going to war, at least a soft war, I don't know what does. If this would have happened in 1776, it didn't even happen to this level. You basically had a country come in and say, hey, we're going to start taxing you unjustly, and we're going to take your firearms, and we're going to make sure you pay your due diligence to King George. We've lost all that now. We have a constitutional republic. It's already there. And we're now losing that again. And it's not okay anymore, Doug. We can't allow it to happen.
You said it very well. And the thing is, I fully expect, people who take a stand, there will be people who will be made examples of. In other words, yes, you know, there's going to be damage and collateral damage or direct damage. There's going to be blood. It's up to us though to mitigate and minimize what happens. And I think the more people that show up and stand up and say, you know, you're not doing this. You're not going to force me to wear a face diaper. You're not going to take away my, right to own a firearm. And you're certainly not going to make me take a vaccination. Hey, you know what? I got an idea. If the vaccination works, you take it. And you're covered. I mean, right? That should,
there you go. Yeah, there you go.
Why bother me with it? Let me die from it. So anyway, but I think if we all stand up and stand together at this time, and you know who you are, the able-bodied men and women, but men, grow a pair and go in and say, yeah, I'm a poll watcher. If that's what your job is, I got one job and I'm going to do it. No cardboard, no locked door is going to stop me. And certainly you puke with the green hair or purple hair and the nose piercing, you're not going to stop me because you're not going to have a piercing left.
Yeah. Anyway.
And by the way, the
Doug, I've always questioned the facial piercings, especially
what the hell is that?
Escalated conflict. I'm like, bro, really? You know, that is the first thing that's coming out of your face if we put hands on each other. Like, why in the world do you put that all over your face? Look ridiculous.
I've got to tell you, based on my experience, they will go, when you pull on the nose ring, they go in the same direction in which you pull.
Okay? Oh, yeah, I bet so.
But anyway, yeah, we're running out of time. Austin Brower has been just a wonderful guest. Make sure you listen to Austin and Ted Brower on the Health Masters radio show, of course, 5 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Did you get that? And Sunday as well. Click the blue box there, and you can get the current day live, 3 to 4, or you can drill down for the archives. But it's there. Also, right now, tonight, as we close out the program, order from Health Masters your nutritional supplements, including your multivitamin in powder or capsule form, and vitamins B, C, they got it all. Just do it now, please, folks. Please, I beg of you, do it, because we need you around. We need you to help. We need to be able to have you stand on your own, and this will help you do it. Healthmasters.com, that's healthmasters.com. And Austin, again, I want to thank you so much for being a patriot, for everything you do, you and your family, your dad. Good friends. Thank you. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you.
Yeah. And, we'll be talking again. That was Austin Brower. He's a great kid. Good kid. What am I saying? Great young man. Great family man. Proud to know him. Well, thank you for tuning in, and may God bless each and every one of you. Have a good night.